To all of God's beloved, grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably like all of you, I have picked up my fair share of nicknames in my younger days. My first one was from my dad, who called me Fred, a variation on Jennifer or Jennifred, and ultimately short for Frederica Aloysius Poo-Poopy-Doo. I loved it, and I still do. When kicking around a friend's garage, I saw one of those nuts that have those little handles, like wings, that you screw onto the bolt, and I asked, well, what is that? And then I became, for a while, Wing Nut. My coach called me Jackhammer because I played basketball as delicate as a jackhammer. And my teammate and the person responsible for giving me a whiff of Jesus' love, who gave me my first Bible, called me the kind of name that can only be given if said with love behind it, Pouter. As in, a person who pouts, sticks out their lower lip, sulks when things don't go their way. These names were descriptive and part of my story, but thankfully not the whole story. I've outgrown most of them, except for Fred, who I now share with my dog, Freddy. He's a very good boy. Jesus gives two followers of his a nickname in this story on the road to Emmaus. Again, the kind of name that can only be said with love behind it. Foolish and slow. Let's back up a little bit. Two people were walking down the hill and far away from Jerusalem, towards the sea in the west, towards the setting sun that beat on their face. Their feet were as heavy as their hearts, as if caught up in concrete, their steps falling only by the force of gravity pulling them forward and down. The events in Jerusalem did not go as they had hoped. Jesus was dead. Or at least the Jesus they had hoped for was dead. He failed, he lost, he didn't redeem them, he didn't liberate them, he didn't have the victory they had hoped for. Their hopes died with Jesus on the cross and were buried with him in the tomb. And we find them there 3 days later. And what's never struck me before is that they didn't leave Jerusalem right away. It took them a few days, and they left only after hearing the astonishing news that Jesus' body was not where it was left in the tomb. It was missing, and there were rumors whispered by angels that he was alive. Why leave at that point? Why not stay and find out what really happened? But it's as if they couldn't dare to hope again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So they left, and they walked the 7 miles downhill towards Emmaus. Along the way, a stranger starts walking with them. They don't know him. They don't recognize him. And he doesn't seem to know much of anything either. He comes up and he says, what you talking about? He finds them on the road and asks them why they are so sad. And the followers wonder if anyone could possibly be talking about anything else. Duh, the things that just went down in Jerusalem. Their implied question, what, were you born in a barn? Well, yes. But they obliged this stranger. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? And so Jesus, who had known these things that had taken place at a very personal level, said, what things? And so they started. The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and word before God and all people, how our leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Some women of our group surprised us. They went to the tomb early this morning to tend to the body, but they did not find his body there. They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. So some of us went to the tomb and found it empty, but did not see him. And that exact point is when Jesus gives the two people the nickname, again, which can only be given if also said with love behind it. Oh, how foolish and slow of heart. They didn't get it. They missed the point, everything that Jesus had been telling them, just like everyone else following his resurrection, which you will hear week after week as we make it through these Easter stories. They missed the point. They were slow and foolish. But Jesus doesn't leave them there. He tells them God's story and his part in it, the suffering servant, the Passover lamb, the Redeemer, that Jesus was always heading for rejection, not victory. Rejection of death, sin, and evil, and political power. And in the cross and resurrection, Jesus has even rejected rejection. So when they arrived at Emmaus, the two still didn't know who the man was, but they liked what they said. It was burning within their hearts. It's as if it was a hint of a memory. And so they asked him to stay and share a meal. And as Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were opened. They saw, and they remembered, "This is my body given for you." Looking back to my younger days, I was a pouter. I was cut from my basketball team in 10th grade, moved schools, and we made it to state in 11th grade. I committed to work hard and run it back next year. We were ranked third in the state, but we crashed and burned in the following season. I was a pouter, and understandably so. Looking back, it seems so small, but I know that at the time it was huge and devastating and real. And I know that for all of us, as life grows, so too can its losses. Job loss and transition, sobriety and separation, divorce, disaster and disease, the death of our beloveds. We know how hard it is to be human, how easy it is to lose hope, to live with deep disappointment, uncontrollable powerlessness, tender mortality, downgraded hope. Like those two on the road, there will be times in your life that you will want to give up, to turn your back, to walk away, and quit before you fail again. In those times, I hope you have someone who will tell you the truth. Don't be foolish. Come back. Because Jesus didn't come to win a game or a fight or a deal or an election or any other time-bound victory. He leaves that important work for us to do. But Jesus was always coming to suffer and die and meet us in our suffering and meet us in our death, meet us where we are in our sadness on the road. Like that good shepherd, he is finding the lost. He cares about what we encounter in this life. He cares about what we care about, our sadness, our joy, those on the road, and ours. And he promises that this is not ever the end. My family had the privilege of living in Jerusalem for 4 years, and so I can close my eyes and see those disciples walking down the hill towards Emmaus. I've been on that road, that hill that slopes down from Jerusalem and towards the sea. I know the weight of the steps, the fatigue in their bones, that pain, that lower lip that held in their pain. And I think you might too. But we know too, the Jesus who comes into our very midst finds us where we are, reminds us who he is and who he is for, the Savior of the whole world, the one who went the way of the cross to find us in our depths and to transform our death into his life. He never leaves us as we are, as he found us, and we are never the same. You know, it took those disciples the whole way to walk down to Emmaus, their steps so heavy and weighted, but only an instant to run back up a very steep hill all the way to Jerusalem. That very hour, Luke tells us, that they saw Jesus, they rose. The Greek suggests that they were resurrected, and they ran back uphill to Jerusalem. So may you rise up. May you rise up in the hope of the resurrection. For Jesus has truly risen. Death does not have the victory. There is a future in God's love. Amen.